Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And you're listening to episode 1004 of Gamertag Radio. This is Paris doing this episode solo this week. Danny will be joining us in a pre-recorded interview later on in the episode. So again, this is Gamertag Radio, episode 1004. I want to thank everyone that is hanging out here live in the Twitch chat, as well as everyone that has downloaded this on the podcast, on the audio form. We truly appreciate all the support that you've been showing us over the years. So, wow, not a lot to talk about this week as far as video game news, just not a lot of real-time things happening. I know we've talked a lot about Xbox the past few weeks, so I kind of don't want to tread back down that road so much again on this episode, because I'm sure you guys are getting sick of everything being about Xbox. I know I am, but there just truly is not a lot going on in the gaming world. Before I jump in and everything, let's go ahead and send it over to feedback so that you can contact us. And I'm not talking well today, but oh well, here we go. Let's do feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so like I said, not a lot going on in the video game world this week, but I guess I'll just drop a couple personal notes right here at the top of the episode. So first and foremost, I want to thank AMD. AMD really came through clutch for me this week. They graciously provided me with a brand new 3950X Ryzen CPU, as well as a Radeon 7 GPU, and this is just... you have no idea how much this is just going to help me, especially with my own budget and the fact that I'm now going to be able to do two builds where I can have a streaming and editing specific build as well as a gaming build as well. So I just want to thank AMD for believing in me as a creator and trying to help me reach the goals that I'm looking to hit here in 2020 as a creator, as I expand what I do on the video side. So, like I said, this is going to allow me to create an editing machine and a gaming PC. So the parts are on the way. I actually ordered everything else that I needed, and that build's going to be happening pretty soon. I've still not determined how I'm going to handle that, as far as am I going to do a pre-recorded video, maybe put it on YouTube on my channel there, or maybe we do something live here on Twitch. But we'll figure that out, and that'll be happening here in the upcoming weeks. We're going to do a gaming build and we're going to do an editing build, because the goal with the editing build is to have something that's specific to be able to edit stuff in 4K and do it a lot quicker than I'm doing right now, as well as have it being a dedicated streaming box. So if I am streaming something on PC, I'm not taking resources away from my gaming PC, and just obviously the image, I can play in 4K, do it in high frames, all that stuff, and it'll look good on stream. So that's the goal here in 2020, is get my quote unquote cyberpunk gaming PC ready to go, and then have something that's going to be truly dedicated to editing as well. So speaking on cyberpunk again, just on a personal note, I know we talked about this a little bit on Daily Conversations, but obviously NVIDIA is doing that giveaway right now of that custom 2080 Ti that it's a cyberpunk themed 2080 Ti. And just again, anyone that's listening and watching this, thank you to all the people that have been tagging me on that. I mean, I selfishly do want the card, because I think it would be amazing to put into my new gaming PC to have that custom cyberpunk card. And of course, it's going to be a collector's item regardless. So everyone that's tagged me on that, thank you for that. Hey, if I win, it'd be great. Obviously, I'll talk about it on the podcast, probably do some kind of unboxing video or something like that on YouTube or whatever, maybe, you know, here live on stream. But again, thank you to everyone that has been showing me support with that. It's just been amazing to see that, you know, so many people that I don't even know have recognized me as the quote unquote cyberpunk guy. I mean, I obviously don't hide my passion for that game. So again, thank you for that. And then finally, in housekeeping notes, again, speaking of Xbox, I made an appearance on IGN last week. I was on Podcast Unlocked. Dustin Legarry was gracious enough to invite me to be a co-host on there. And we talked about the Phil Spencer interview. We kind of talked about the future of Xbox, their plans potentially at E3. And we got I snuck in What If into the podcast. I did a What If about Perfect Dark, and we talked a lot about Halo Infinite as well. It was a very good conversation. Had a lot of fun doing that. And just the feedback that I've even seen from that episode has been great. So again, everyone that has listened or watched that episode, thank you again for the support. And if you've not checked it out, make sure to go over to IGN, look up Podcast Unlocked. They have a video on IGN. There's a video on YouTube. And again, you can download the podcast from your favorite RSS feed. So that's it for housekeeping. That's it being selfish about me, I guess, right? Because obviously I'm talking a lot about myself, but I'm here solo. And like I said at the top, Danny is not on this episode, but we will be cutting to an interview with Danny, because Danny right now is in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he is a guest of GameStop. GameStop is opening new stores. They're kind of reconfiguring the way that they're handling the brick and mortar stores. So he's going to have an interview coming up with Zach Shore. I believe I'm saying that name correctly. He's the head of innovation over at GameStop. And I know he sat down with him and he kind of just talked about GameStop's future, their plans, what they're looking to do with these new stores. So I'll let Danny do the talking on that in the interview, but we'll cut to that later on here in the episode. So again, it's not a lot to talk about in the gaming world right now. And like I said before, we've talked so much about Xbox and their plans for E3. I don't think we focused enough on Nintendo in the last few weeks. Obviously, Nintendo just had a direct with Animal Crossing, and I know people are super excited about that. I am personally not an Animal Crossing fan, but I understand the phenomenon with that and why people should be excited about it. But it just kind of highlights to me, as we're here in 2020, what the hell is Nintendo doing? What are they going to do in 2020? They've already made it clear that we're not getting a Switch Pro, which for me personally is disappointing. But when you really think about it, Nintendo really doesn't have an incentive right now to put out a Switch Pro, because they could hold on to that thing into 2021, let the dust settle with the Series X and the PlayStation 5, and then drop that on us. And then, of course, their hardcore fans are going to run out and get it no matter what. But then they're going to be able to get some other people that initially had the funds to go get a PlayStation 5 or a Series X. Now on the back end, maybe they'll invest into a Switch Pro. Not to mention the Switch Lite is selling like gangbusters. Obviously the Switch Prime, as you may want to call it, is still selling fairly well. I mean, Nintendo actually has outpaced the Xbox One in this generation. And it came out, 4 years after the initial Xbox One in 2013? Because I think the Switch was, 2017? So that is just showing you, I mean, pace wise is actually ahead of even the PlayStation 4, which is just phenomenal. And, you know, I root for Nintendo so much, because Nintendo, obviously, we're not talking right now if it wasn't for Nintendo, because Nintendo created the home console market for what it is today with the NES back in 85. And just all the successes and the failures that they've had over the past few decades, it's just, they've always set the precedent for the market. They've always been the publisher that has innovated in the gaming space with just some of the things that they've done. I mean, they're the ones that introduced Rumble. They introduced wireless controllers. They obviously tried VR back in the 90s. You know, obviously the Wii remote that we got, I mean, held the Switch itself, you know, is an innovation, which, you know, we even saw the beta for that, I guess you could say, with the Wii U. You know, N64 for what it was. I mean, the GameCube, I mean, was, you know, people look back, can at the time kind of panned it. But when you look at what the GameCube was trying to do back then, you know, was innovation. So, you know, I've always said that when it comes to being a developer, Nintendo is the best developer in the world. They just are. Because think about it. They don't need third party. It is great that they have third party that is now on the Switch and we've seen support for it. But even if they didn't have one third party publisher put a game on a Nintendo product, we're still going to buy it. Want to know why? Mario, Zelda, Metroid, Donkey Kong, Pikmin, I mean, Animal Crossing, the list goes on. They have so many established in-house IPs that people want to play. They just simply don't. They need it, of course. I mean, the more software that you have, the better, obviously. So third party is key. But Nintendo has shown, their track record has shown, that they can still push units with just their in-house stuff. I buy a Nintendo product for Nintendo games. I mean, third party is just a nice bonus to have on there. Clearly, like as an example right now, The Witcher 3, you know, being on the Nintendo Switch, the fact that they've enabled cloud saves on there is a nice bonus for me to have a Switch. But it's not why I have a Switch. I have a Switch for Breath of the Wild. I have it for Mario Odyssey. I mean, you know, the list goes on with the games that have come out, you know, for the Switch. So that's why I always root for Nintendo. And that's, again, bringing this full circle back, why Nintendo can drag their feet as far as putting out the next generation of the Switch, which would probably be the Switch Pro, which I assume would have better Joy-Cons, would have better battery life, probably in dock mode could play games potentially in 4K, things like that. You know, obviously maybe a bigger screen, but a more improved screen on the portable version of the Switch. More better Bluetooth support, you know, better accessories that go with it. That's what I'm assuming we'll see, you know, with a Switch Pro, but they have zero incentive to put one out in 2020. The smart thing for them to do, I mean, we'll see what their holiday lineup looks like. I'm going to assume a Metroid potentially comes out the end of this year, maybe a Donkey Kong, something like that. They'll have a surprise for us that they'll probably announce at E3 of a big, you know, classic legacy IP that we're going to get on the Switch, I would assume. You know, I know there's been rumblings about a sequel to Zelda, maybe another Mario, something like that. But in my opinion, why do it? I mean, let's get Metroid. Let's get Donkey Kong. Let's get something like that to come out. Let's get a Switch version of Pikmin, something of that nature. I mean, they have the Rogues Gallery that they can dip into, that they can put out this holiday. So I'm going to be excited to see what they do at E3 and what they have to announce. So that's Nintendo. I'm excited to see what their roadmap's going to look like for this year and as we go into 2021, because I mean, they just still have so many titles that they can put out. Now, PlayStation, you know, again, we've talked about this in daily conversations in some previous episodes. We clearly have no idea what they're going to do. We just don't know. We don't know. We don't know what their roadmap looks like to launch this PlayStation 5. There've obviously been the rumblings with Bloomberg, with the price, all that. There's been alleged 4chan spec leaks of what the hardware is going to be. I take all that stuff with a grain of salt. But regardless of that, we now know they're not going to PAX East due to the coronavirus. They're not going to go to GDC due to coronavirus. So that's interesting. I've heard some rumblings that they will be at Tokyo Game Show. I'm sure they're going to be at Gamescom, things like that. We know they will not be at E3. So I still stick with the fact that, and I know Danny doesn't agree with me on this, that probably in middle to late May, maybe early June, they do a state of play and they kind of just show off the hardware and run down the specs. You know, Mark Cerny pre-recorded thing. You know, they can show some demos of some back catalog games. At that point, The Last of Us 2 is out. They could even show The Last of Us 2 running on a PlayStation 5. Look how quicker it loads on a PlayStation 5. Look how better it looks in native 4K. It's running at 60 frames. They can do stuff like that with that game. Ghost of Tsushima, they could show that off. Obviously, they could, a legacy game like Spider-Man, they could show God of War. I'm thinking that's how they reveal the PlayStation 5, to say this is how powerful this thing is. Look at games that you're already playing, how much better they are on the PlayStation 5. Then at some determined point after E3 or even around E3, they're going to wait until Xbox reveals all their cards. But after that, then they say, all right, here's the games lineup. Here's what's coming this holiday. Here's the price, things like that. We're now taking a show on the road. You're going to get to see it at Gamescom. You're going to get to see it at the Tokyo Game Show. You're going to see it at PAX West, Paris Games Week. We're going to do our own PlayStation experience right before launch, bring the fans in, have a big celebration about it. You know, that whole thing. To me, I think that is probably the play for PlayStation, no pun intended, but that's probably what they'll do to launch this thing. And we're all going to buy it. And I'm going to stick with that. It's going to be anywhere between $450 or let's get it right, $449.99 to $499.99. It'll be in that price range. I just can't see this thing doing what it wants to do in 2020, hardware-wise, spec-wise, them being able to get it down to $400 without taking a massive loss for the first year or two, which I just don't think they need to do. I don't think Sony needs to do that to, quote unquote, still be the leader in this space. I think they can confidently launch a PlayStation 5 at $500 and all their hardcore people are still going to buy it. I mean, there's going to be people, like I told the story at CES, the Uber driver that said he will not buy any of these new things if it's over $400. And I can feel that and understand that because it's not a cheap hobby to be into gaming. He said, I'll be more than content to wait. And I have a vast gaming library already on my PlayStation 4 that I can play and wait it out to the price drop. So again, back to my point, and I think this also conveys with Xbox as well. You know, the hardcore will buy at whatever price they set in that first 3 to 6 months, right? That launch window. We're going to buy it anyways. But, you know, the casual audience, yeah, they're probably going to wait until a price cut. But I still think there's enough of a hardcore base of PlayStation fans out there that will go buy that thing if it's $500, especially if they have a compelling launch window lineup of games of things that people want to play. And they're not just simply saying, yeah, I don't care about that launch lineup. I'll just stick to The Last of Us 2 and Ghost of Tsushima and God of War and Spider-Man, things that I've already played. Again, my speculation is that there will be an Insomniac game at launch, a Ratchet and Clank. I think it just makes a lot of sense to have it launch a nice, fun platformer that they'll be able to get out, you know, nice 10 to 12 hour experience with that. I'm going to assume that Horizon Zero Dawn 2 does not make it at launch at this point. I think that'll probably be your holiday 2021 game. But I do think that Guerrilla has something. Is it Killzone? TBD, but they'll have something. But a shooter makes a lot of sense at launch to have. I know there's been rumblings of some kind of Dark Souls type game at launch. You know, obviously with the backwards compatibility, you're going to have Last of Us 2 Enhanced that's going to be on there. I'm sure there's going to be some strong third-party support at launch, but those will probably also be cross-gen as well, because third-party publishers are not going to ignore the 100+ million PlayStation 4 owners out there. They're going to make sure their games are available there as well. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, with all three of them, Nintendo, Xbox, and PlayStation, how they handle holiday 2020. I do think that PlayStation is in an excellent position right now for holiday, because they have the brand awareness. They're taking their message directly to the consumer, it seems. And I think at a minimum, it will be on par with whatever the Series X is going to be. And we know it's going to be a beast. Mark Cerny is a genius. So we look at what he did with the PlayStation 4 as an example. And just forget the Pro, just the PlayStation 4. Look how amazing titles have looked over the past 7 years just on the PlayStation 4. So I expect nothing less as we go to the PlayStation 5 as well. And as long as they just continue doing what they're doing with their games lineup, they're going to be fine. Absolutely fine. I would, if I had to critique anything with PlayStation, I want to see them give me a reason to go get PlayStation Plus again, because I let it lapse in October and I don't miss it. And I don't see a reason to get it, even, you know, obviously when The Last of Us 2 comes out or even Ghost of Tsushima over the summer, there's just no reason for me to get PlayStation Plus. I played my multiplayer games. The only multiplayer game I played on PlayStation was Destiny. That was it. And the second that cross-save came into play, I ditched it and I went to PC, and I don't see me looking back. So give me some compelling multiplayer content, compelling co-op content on PlayStation, and I'd be more than happy to pick up PlayStation Plus again. So that would be my one critique that I would like to see them fix as we go into the next gen. But hands down, single player experience, story experiences, PlayStation has just simply owned the market this past decade, if you really look at it. You know, I mean, obviously the stories from The Last of Us, God of War, Spider-Man, Horizon Zero Dawn. I mean, you know, even Ratchet and Clank I could throw in there. There's just been so many great PlayStation single player experiences out there that, you know, I don't see that slowing down at all. You know, and the list goes on. I mean, you can, you know, get into, you know, Bloodborne as an example. You know, it's just, you know, I didn't play the zombie one that just came out. The name is escaping me right now, but you know what I'm talking. Days Gone is another title that I didn't play. I know it kind of had a rough launch, but I know people that are playing it right now seem to really like it. So I might have to go bargain bin shopping and see if I can pick that up and check it out. But I'm just personally trying to play Red Dead, and I want to dive into Disco Elysium right now. So that's just taking up the majority of my time gaming wise as we get ready for September when Cyberpunk comes out. So I've actually been talking a lot, and I know Danny has a interview coming up here. So I'm going to pause, and then we're going to play that interview. And then when we come back, I have some final thoughts, and we'll wrap this whole thing up. So again, I want to make sure I get this right before I turn it over to Danny. And Danny is speaking with Zach Shore. I'm assuming I'm saying that last name correctly. Zach Shore. He is the head of innovation over at GameStop. And Danny sits down with him to kind of talk about the new initiatives that GameStop is having with their brick and mortar retail stores. So take it away, Danny. I'll see you guys on the flip side.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
This is a Gamertag Radio exclusive.
So my name is Zach Shore. I'm the head of innovation for GameStop.
And let's talk about this new look here at GameStop. So this is called GameStop version 2.0, you can say?
Or yeah, we're actually in GameStop Social right now.
So GameStop Social.
Yeah.
So what is the difference? Because there's so many different concepts that you guys have. So what's the difference between social and the other ones that you guys have already?
Yeah, so there are actually four different concepts that we're testing here in Tulsa. 12 stores. 9 of them are what we're calling GameStop 2.0. And those are, it's really dictated by size. So we have 6 game bays in some of them and 12 game bays in others. GameStop Social, where we are right now, has 36 game bays. So it's the biggest and has the most potential for tournaments and events and stuff like that. And then we have our GameStop Retro, which is all prior gen and before gaming on old 150-pound CRT TVs, and much heavier focus on pre-owned games. And then we have our GameStop Pop Culture store, which is in the mall, which is heavier on collectibles and stuff like that.
Why was it so important for you guys to make this change? Because we're in an era right now that everything is digital, and let's keep it real. Retail has been hurting because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So why they change? Why this concept you think is going to work for GameStop?
Yeah, we want to be the social hub of gaming, right? Mm-hmm. I think that we're in a unique position given how many stores we have, how close they are to everybody. Where we could really be the YMCA of video gaming. It doesn't have to be competitive esports. It doesn't have to be really intense competition. It can be just hanging out with your friends, playing games with each other, sitting next to each other, which is hard to do at home sometimes.
I was going to say that I remember those days when I'll go to the store, waiting in line. I meet gamers from the area that I'm at, Miami, New York.
Yeah.
I miss those days.
Yeah.
There's nothing like meeting people face-to-face, man. So I remember coming over here with our group. We come inside, and this place was actually pretty packed. Everybody just playing Fortnite. There was people playing all the games around here and everything.
Yeah. And D&D going on at the front of the store.
Yeah. So it felt good seeing that.
Yeah. Cool.
You rarely see that in stores nowadays, man.
Yeah.
So I think it will work. Now, my question that I have for you is, why here? Why Tulsa? Why not having like in a city like LA, New York? Because a lot of those stores, I've seen some that are really small, some of them really big. Like, let's say the one in New York, 34th Street.
Yeah, it's big.
Huge,
yeah.
2 floors.
Yeah.
So I could see something like this for that store. So what about doing in other cities to have maybe a smaller location? Like, why not over there?
Yeah, so Tulsa was important for us because it's a great cross-section of the U.S., right? It's, white-collar, blue-collar. It's very diverse. It's a great test market for stuff like this. And it's very trying to think of the right word. It's not super close to any other city, so we can blanket it with marketing and not cross-pollinate with another large city and confuse our consumers, right? Like if we did this in DFW, we would either have to do all 55 stores we have there, or if we only did 10, now you have people that are, you know, that are coming in and they're confused. So Tulsa was like a very self-contained market that we could really test and test with the full force of how we wanted to test, if that makes sense.
And when do you see you the company doing this in other cities in the future? Because the next-gen console is coming out later this year. Do you see yourself having this in other places, like close to that, to the launch, or maybe something in the future after that? Like how your plans?
Yeah, right now we don't know. It's just so early, and I think our chief customer officer, who you'll meet tomorrow, he has a great analogy, and I have to give him full credit for it. The baby was just born, and everyone wants to know where it's going to college, right?
Yeah.
I think we're still crawling here. It's really only been truly a couple of weeks since we've been able to snap the line and really start measuring and learning. We have no idea whether this will roll out, what from it will roll out, or if any of it will roll out.
So for the average person at home right now, and they're hearing this right now, what is the incentive for them to come here to try this out?
Yeah,
instead of buying a game online or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you happen to be in Tulsa or want to come to Tulsa, I mean, just come support something that I think is trying to accomplish something that not a lot of folks have, right? Which is making gaming an in-person social activity, and that doesn't have to be, hyper-competitive. If we see that there's a lot of demand for that, then... who knows where it may go.
Yeah. And how's been the feedback since you guys been experimenting here locally? Has it been good?
Super positive. I mean, the customer feedback's been really positive. The associate feedback's been really positive. There have definitely been some things that haven't worked, and there have been a lot of things that have. And that's the beauty of, we call Tulsa a laboratory. And the beauty of having a laboratory is if some done work, you pull it out. We've been iterating and changing things, and we're doing it every day.
Can you say what worked and what didn't work, if you don't mind?
I think the gameplay has been a huge hit.
Yeah.
I think the menu of games has been a total work in progress, right? Mm-hmm. If you can believe it, we opened without Rocket League. Duh.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are things like that, until you have a customer looking at you going, why don't you have Rocket League, that like you have to learn and you have to think about. I think the game menu is a big one. I think the tabletop gaming piece was really, really surprising. I mean, obviously, there's been a total renaissance in the tabletop world, whether it's D&D or board games. So our product assortment, right? We needed more D&D stuff to sell because people were coming in playing for the first time. And, okay, well, where's my monster manual? Where's my DM guide? Where's my dice? So we've had to change all that. It's been a really, really fun learning experience.
And also thinking about it right now, this is also beyond just playing games. Like I can see workshops, right?
Yeah.
Coding.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I want to become a content creator, get a well-known content creator.
Yeah.
Teach them how to...
Show you how to stream.
Stream. Do you guys see that in the future?
So
too,
we're actually doing coding classes.
What type of coding?
We work with a company called Code Combat.
Oh, awesome.
And we've been doing some, 1 hour free classes because we have PCs and we have the space. And they've all, I think they've actually all sold out.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's been really, really cool.
So, what's the ages on that?
Like 5 to 14.
Wow.
I mean, they're, these young kids who just want to, and Code Combat does a really nice job of like gamifying the coding, how to learn coding.
Yeah.
They get certificates at the end. And I mean, we tried it in one or two stores and we've been expanding it. That's just one example. Having pro gamers do workshops, how to be a better Fortnite player, how to be a better COD player, whatever. We're starting to stream that content and people are coming and learning how to play. I think we did it with Madden like a month ago. Okay. That was really successful.
Close to the Super Bowl? Right?
Yeah, like, yeah, right? That's true. Yeah.
Okay.
We absolutely envision all that. And we built these stores in a way that they're flexible enough to accommodate it all.
Yeah. And how are you guys going to plan to spread the word about this? Because the let's be real, the just the regular consumers, they only see this as a store.
Yeah.
They don't know about the social part of it.
Yeah.
So how are you going to spread the message and to let them know, hey, look, this is the type of things that we're planning to do in the future in most of our stores in the future. You know, so.
Yeah. So, we have turned on marketing here as of like a week or two ago.
Okay.
Digital, there's some billboards, TV, radio, all that kind of stuff. Every store does have a social media presence.
Okay.
So if you're, looking to see what's going on at your store, go follow, GameStop Social in Bixby, Oklahoma on Facebook. And, they'll tell you about Fortnite Fridays. They'll tell you about D&D on Thursday nights. And that's a great way to do it. And we're getting the word out that way. It's an ongoing process. Yeah. So you'd be amazed, the store's been open for 3 months. People still walk in and go, what in the world is this?
Yeah, that's the vibe that I got too. Yeah. Like when I came in, I'm like, wow, this is different. I was not expecting this,
Yeah.
Now, my question is for those also that are just driving around, oh, it's a GameStop store, let me go in. But then they go to the retro store. How will they know from the outside, this is like a retro one, this is the social gaming? How will they know from the outside before going inside the store?
Yeah, we haven't branded them differently. So GameStop Social is the only one that has like the GameStop Social branding. Everything else is just GameStop. But the good news is if you walk into the retro store trying to buy, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, you can still buy Call of Duty Modern Warfare. It's not just retro games. It's still a fully functioning GameStop too. So you won't be unpleasantly surprised when you walk in,
Yeah. So there's social, there's the retro. What else you have?
There's the pop culture, which is, we have one of those. It's in the mall, Woodland Hills Mall.
Okay. And what's that one about?
It's more collectible focused. It's the smallest store we have.
Okay.
And so we couldn't fit a lot of gaming into it, but it does have a couch co-op gaming area.
With all systems and PC
all,
too?
Yeah. The couch is just PS4.
Oh, PS4, okay.
Yep, and Switch. It has Nintendo Switch on it. Mm-hmm. But it has, it has a full, Funko Pop section. But it still has all the consoles and accessories and games that you come to know from GameStop. It just has, it's more focused on the collectible side.
And have the company been talking to other gaming companies about this, like Nintendo, Microsoft?
Yeah, yeah.
What they've been saying about this?
They've all been really, really supportive. All of our, biggest vendor, Nintendo, Microsoft, Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony, along with a lot of the publishers, all the bigger publishers have come out. We had vendor tours, so we brought them out. We showed them around.
Cool.
And the feedback's been super, super positive. There aren't a lot of places where you can try a game before you buy it and where they can exhibit new content to such a captive audience as they've got here. So
yeah, and I know we were talking about also VR and other maybe like, let's say, Project X Cloud or PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
All, gaming is changing so much.
Yeah.
Based on that, is that also going to help you guys also change the concept of the store based on the technology that's coming out, especially like the next-gen consoles?
Yeah, for sure. The stores need to evolve with the industry, right?
I think.
And VR is a good example. A lot of our stores don't have space for room-scale VR. So we're working with Sony to get some PlayStation VR setups so that people can still experience it.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing experience. But when it comes to xCloud and Stadia and the new consoles, we have to evolve with the industry. Right now, we don't offer them. One, because Stadia is the only one of those things that you mentioned that's out. But I think at some point, when it makes sense, we have to think about it.
Why wait so long to actually have something like this to put in other stores? Is it you guys are not 100% sure that it's going to work out? Or because this place, since we've been here, it's been pretty packed. And I know based on the conversations, there's always people coming in during the day.
Yeah.
There's always going to be customers over here, right? So why not launch in other stores? Like, why wait so long?
Yeah, we don't look at it as waiting. We're learning, right? I think what we don't want to do is open something and have it look like it's working, but have there be underlying things that don't work and you just don't realize it. And so, we need to make sure that we're doing our due diligence to make sure that if we roll something out, that we know why it works and we know what works.
Yeah.
Because, it's really easy to get really excited when you walk into a place like this and go, you guys should just do this everywhere. But, like I said, even in the 3 months it's been open, there's been a lot of things that we've learned and changed. And so,
Let's talk about the retro store.
Yeah.
I'm a huge retro fan. So what is the oldest system you guys have there? And what's, the newest?
So you can play all the way back to the NES, the original NES.
Okay.
So not like the Ataris and the stuff. Yeah,
hey,
unfortunately.
That's very old school. But that's possible too, right?
No? Yeah. I mean, yeah, we can. We just got to find the systems. It's it's hard. There aren't a lot of Ataris floating around.
Yeah.
So you can go all the way back to the NES, and you can play up to the PlayStation 2. And GameCube, so that whole generation.
Yeah.
So there's no PS3, there's no Wii.
So PlayStation 3 is not considered retro yet?
Man, you're making me feel old. Don't do that.
Yeah.
But no, it's in that store leader specifically, Tyrell has done a phenomenal job of embracing. I mean, he has the retro store in the market, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, the Double Dash tournaments and, I mean, all sorts of really, really cool events that he's hosting over there.
So how's the retro store is actually doing, like compared to this? And it's a smaller store compared to this one.
A little bit, smaller compared to the one we're in. And I can't talk about performance, but the feedback has been super, super positive. I mean, I think there's a total nostalgia factor, right? And because it's so focused on pre-owned, it's more of the treasure hunter store, right? It's the one where you go and you're digging through the spines of games to find that hidden gem that you've been looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, like we talked about me being a Dark Souls fan, that's where I'd go and find Demon Souls, right? Can't get those in any store here except for that one. So,
do you see maybe have also mixed, like having something like this also have retro? And
for sure, yeah. I mean, as we learn more about how you know the retro store is being accepted, mm-hmm. And used, like I absolutely see it. I mean, the big limiting factor on the retro stuff is the damn TVs. You know, like the CRT, they don't make them anymore. When they break, they're hard to fix.
Yeah, yeah.
They weigh 200 pounds. But I think that, you know, there's a stock issue, right? So they don't make more Xboxes. They don't make more PS1s. So you have to manage that. And you can't open 20 retro stores in a market.
You have Sega Dreamcast? I forgot to
we
ask.
We don't have Dreamcast.
That's,
I know.
That's retro, man.
I know. Yeah. I know.
You got to try to get them.
I'll do it just for you.
Yeah, definitely. Now, when we came here, it was Fortnite Fridays, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is that free? People have to pay? And how is the process of, let's say, just a regular day, I want to try out a game on a computer or Nintendo Switch or PlayStation 4 or Xbox? Like, how the process work on that?
Yeah, sure. So to play is $5 an hour. There are different event packages. There are, you know, different things that you can get. There's a day pass, a week pass that all, you know, gives you discounts and stuff.
Monthly?
No monthly pass yet.
Okay.
Something we're working on, though.
Okay.
As like a monthly subscription, right? Mm-hmm. But it's $5 an hour. The first 15 minutes is free because, again, if you just want to try a game before you buy it, we don't want to make you pay for that. That doesn't feel right. But for Fortnite Fridays, you know, there's a sign-up sheet. You have to sign up by 6 p.m. that day. Everyone who signs up, I think it's between 5 and 7 matches for free. And then if they want to keep playing, then that's when they pay the $5 an hour.
And what is it that they win at the end?
It's a raffle. So it's not, some people come and just play online and never, you know, don't play with anybody else in the store.
Okay.
A lot of times it's groups of 3 or 4 people that want to play against each other. But everybody who enters gets entered into a raffle for, I think, tonight. We gave away like $100 in V-Bucks or a Fortnite statue or something. The tournaments and leagues are coming later. This is just encouraging social play.
And staff.
Yeah.
Has it been increased? Is it the same?
Yeah.
Because of the changes or what?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's definitely different managing a GameStop store in Tulsa than it is anywhere else. So we have staffed up a little bit. And they've had to learn an entirely new, you know, set of skills, right? I mean, it's actually more of a hospitality business than it is retail now.
Yeah.
And they've taken to it like ducks to water, though. I mean, they've been phenomenal.
Yeah, because when we were here, there was one that was just moving around, checking out the scores and writing everything down. And
yeah.
Really, really cool, man.
Yeah.
I was very surprised how many young people that were here, very young, playing Fortnite. You know, a lot of them could play at home, but it was really exciting seeing the young crowd playing here.
That's been the most surprising thing, not only the age, but that last time I checked, I think 60% of our gameplay is free-to-play games. Right, so these are games that most people can play at home. They already have, but they want to do it here. And they want to do it here maybe because they like the environment, maybe because they just want to be with their friends, physically be with their friends while they're playing. But that's been one of the more surprising stats we've learned so far.
One of my last questions is,
I
know we were talking about this when you were showing us like the concept, the layout from the back of consoles, and we brought up about the next-gen consoles, and I think it's Xbox Series X. I know Xbox mentioned this, that all their games for like the first year or two is going to be also playable on Xbox One. So based on that, do you see guys like adding Xbox Series X here or PlayStation 5 or...
Yeah.
How's that going to... I know you're still waiting for more information from
yeah.
the company.
Yeah, if you could just have Phil let me know what he's planning
on
doing. Yeah, that'd
Phil,
be great.
Right?
Yeah. Look, it's something that, you know, as we learn more, you know, we know what you know. So as we learn more, you know, we'll figure out whether we want to trade out all the systems, whether we just want to exhibit on the big, you know, 86-inch 4K TVs. We don't know yet. Until we know more, we don't know. But obviously... You know, the next big thing, we want it to be here. So we'll figure out a way to incorporate it into the program.
I just remember right now. I know GameStop has, like, is it like an expo or a conference always at the end of the year?
I think it's in, like, August or September.
Yeah. Do you see maybe talking about this concept at that event?
Probably. I mean, we teased it a little bit at our store leader conference last year.
We'll have, like, a fake layout concept.
It wasn't. I think it was actually a real layout.
Oh,
I don't even think it was fake.
Okay.
And somehow it didn't leak. Believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Yeah. So I imagine that we will have learned enough by August or September. I forgot when our conference is. To maybe even actually talk about, you know, how the stores are performing and how, you know, maybe what future plans are if we know. So hopefully by then we'll have learned a lot.
Yeah, I think it's important to spread the message.
Yeah.
To the consumers, because right now everybody the majority of people just know about just the regular store. They don't know anything about this, you know. So it's just getting the message out.
Yeah, to the associates too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we may talk about, we may not talk about it. I have no idea. But hopefully we've learned a lot by then.
Cool. All right. So for more information, if people want to know more about this, where's like the best play to find out more?
I think we have a launch page, GameStop.com/Tulsa. If you want to check that out.
So there's pictures, videos, everything there?
I don't know how updated they are.
Okay.
But it gives some basic information about what the stores are. And as we get more, I think you saw like some of the photographers walking around.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. Well, and I joked, I think the only pictures we have of the stores are the ones that are on my phone. So we need to get some pro, you know, photos going. We'll be updating stuff on that.
Cool.
And, you know, and obviously always reach out to our PR department. We can answer whatever questions we can.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, I just want to say thanks, man.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun talking about this.
Thanks for coming out. You know, they do call Tulsa the New York City of Oklahoma. So
there you go.
I appreciate you coming out.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, and we are back. And thank you, Danny, for that interview with GameStop. I hope you've had a great time over there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, taking a tour of their new innovations with their brick and mortar stores. I'm going to be very interested on a personal note to see how this plays out. Because look, let's be real here. I'm just going to be honest. You know, GameStop is struggling. I mean, there is zero incentive for me right now to walk into a brick and mortar store and buy a video game other than hardware. So, yeah, sure, I could see me pre-ordering a PlayStation 5 or Series X at GameStop. But after I pick up my hardware, why am I going back? What's my incentive to ever buy a game from there? We are pretty much at the point that physical copies are the exception, not the rule, to when at least I buy games. I'm pretty much get all my games digital at this point. Even when we get review copies of games, they're all digital. So, you know, it's rare I ever see a physical copy of a game anymore. I would say the only system that I'll still probably get a physical game on is probably the Nintendo Switch. And that is just simply because their share system sucks compared to the Xbox and the PlayStation. And it's just easier for me to share my games with my kids via physical copy because look, Santa Claus, well, not Santa Claus, but me is probably going to get them Switch lights here pretty soon. I hope y'all not watching because if you do, you're in trouble. But that's the point. I mean, if we have multiple Switches here in the house, it's just going to be a lot easier for me to share a physical copy with them that way. So, again, thank you, Danny, for doing that. And let's just see how the future of GameStop is going to go here post these console launches, because I think that's going to be the true test of GameStop, how they handle the post hardware launch as we go into 2021. And now you need to incentivize people to actually walk into your store and buy games and accessories and things like that, when right now it's just so easy to go to Amazon or go to the PlayStation Store or the Xbox Store and just get your game and get your accessories. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. Like I said, just me solo. Danny will be back on the next episode. And so to kind of set things up, I'm traveling here soon. I'm going to be going out of the country for something very important that when I am allowed to talk about it, I'm going to be very excited to talk about. But I think this is a fantastic opportunity for me personally and for why I'm going, I just think industry-wise. So I'm excited about this. And when I'm allowed to talk about it, I will. So I will be I'll be on the next episode. And the next time we record on a Sunday. So I'll be on the next two episodes, but then I think I'm going to be missing the two after that. So you'll get Danny and maybe we'll have a guest on here. I don't know. Maybe Pete will come down from the Alps and be on here. I don't know, but I'll be traveling. I know Danny also is going to be traveling again here. So we're going to have some upcoming episodes here where we're not all together talking. So, but we'll figure all that stuff out on the back end. But I am excited for what's upcoming. I mean, you know, again, even on a personal note, I mean, Warlords of New York with the Division 2 is launching on March 3rd, which I won't even get to play at launch because, again, I'll be traveling. But I'm excited for everyone to get their hands on that. Episode 3 has been an absolute blast. The fact that you can pick up the Division 2 base game dirt freaking cheap right now and get all the year one content, I highly encourage anyone that is into those type of games to go do that, because it is a freaking steal at $3. They're basically just giving it away at this point. So definitely check that out. And if you go through all the content and find it worth your while, I would also recommend to pick up Warlords of New York, because I think that expansion from what I played so far has been really good. Like I said, a lot going on upcoming here in the next few weeks. Like I said, I'm going to be building out two PCs here probably in the next month or so. And again, thank you to AMD for the huge assist with this, just my content creation wise. Again, I guess I'll get personal again, since it's just me on here, and just say I'm very excited about exploring the video space and just doing more video wise. I got a couple other announcements that'll be coming soon of companies who have been very generous in providing accessories to me to help me with this vision. But I don't want to announce it until I actually have in hand 100% confirmed. But got more stuff coming up. And like I said, I'm very excited to just see how my little fledgling YouTube channel has grown here in the last couple months. It's amazing. I mean, my goal has been to get to 5,000 by E3. And believe it or not, I think I might get there. I mean, I'm already over 4,000 at this point. I know that's peanuts out here in the real world of YouTubers and streamers. But hey, starting from nothing and trying to build this thing up and do it the right way has been amazing to see. Like I said, we're continuing to do the podcast, have all that stuff out that we normally do. Obviously, GDC is coming. I'll have more information about that soon. I've had a change of plan slightly with GDC, but I'll talk about that when I can. Obviously, E3 is going to happen. You know, The Last of Us 2, Ori is about to come out. So there's definitely some titles that'll be coming. You know, we know the 800-pound gorilla in September is going to be Cyberpunk, so it'll be interesting to see when they start putting more information about that. Obviously, I'm trying to win that damn card. If I don't, I totally get it. It's not like I need it, but hell, I'm a collector and I freaking want it. I get it. It's going to be exciting to see what NVIDIA has to show when they announce their new cards, you know, how powerful they're going to be. I know AMD has some new stuff that's going to come out. Real quick, now that I mentioned NVIDIA, because it made me think of this one last thing and we'll get out of here. With GeForce Now, you know, I've done some videos on it. I've talked about it here on the podcast. I really like GeForce Now, you know, xCloud, obviously Stadia, the whole cloud streaming stuff that's going on. And NVIDIA has already lost Blizzard, Activision. They won't have games on there. And now Bethesda has pulled out as well. And we don't exactly 100% know why just yet. But that is slightly concerning to see that publishers are already starting to gatekeep games that we potentially could already own on like the Steam platform. And we just can't simply use GeForce Now to be able to play them on the go via cloud streaming. And clearly these companies have their own monetization plans for cloud streaming. But this is going to be the next battle. This is going to be the next quote unquote war that we're going to see. We've already seen that Xbox has partnered with Samsung on a cloud streaming front, you know, for xCloud. We know PlayStation Now is going to evolve from what it currently is. We know Amazon is just lurking in the weeds to announce something, which I think has a lot to do with Bethesda not being on GeForce Now and obviously Activision Blizzard, because Activision Blizzard didn't partner with Stadia. You thought they would have, but they didn't. So we know Stadia has announced some new Android hardware. I think, what did I say before? It was Asus and someone else, but they're starting to expand their reach with the hardware that they're on. I mean, we already talked about xCloud is on iOS at this point, which I think is huge for them. And the quicker you get to iOS, the more you're going to be able to, quote unquote, be the leader in this cloud streaming space. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out. I'm sure there's going to be a big talk about that at E3 this year and through the summer as we go into the holiday, how all the stuff plays out. Because once Amazon announces what they're going to do and who they're partnered with, that's going to completely change the landscape of how all this works. And I'm already willing to bet that Amazon, when they go 1.0 production, they will be iOS day one. They're not going to mess around with this. They might have beta stuff in just using Android, but when they go into production, they're going to be iOS day one. It seems like xCloud is going to be prepared to have their iOS app ready to go at when they're out of beta and ready to launch, since they're already testing it now. We still don't know what GeForce Now is going to do on iOS, and we have freaking zero clue what Stadia is going to do on iOS, so we'll see. But that'll be something to keep an eye on, is the cloud streaming wars of the 2020s, I guess, right? So we'll see how all that plays out. But yeah, so I hope this has been a good episode for you guys. Like I said, it's just me solo rambling on here talking about various things. I was potentially going to get into some pop culture, because I have a Captain America Civil War debate that is raging on social media right now. If you're not following me, that is at Vicious696 on Twitter. And of course, follow Gamertag Radio on Twitter at Gamertag Radio. And before I forget, Danny, let everyone know how they can leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so wrapping it up, like I was saying, the Captain America thing, I have a debate going on Twitter right now. I was going to bring it up here, but I think I'll leave that to another day. So again, thank you everyone for checking out this episode 1004 of Gamertag Radio. I am Paris. Danny will be back on the next episode, and we'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.